عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
كيف الحال فضيل الشيخ؟
الله يحفظك يسلمك.
معك الإخوة من مسجد دار السنة من بريطانيا.
نعم نعم حياكم الله.
إن شاء الله نحن مستعدين إن شاء الله نبدأ إن شاء الله.
نبدأ
إن شاء الله على بركة الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة في الله، في هذه الليلة الطيبة نلتقي عبر الهاتف ونتدارس كتابا من الكتب النافعة التي ألفها الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله، وهو ما يتعلق بنواقض الإسلام العشرة. شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله وغيره من أهل العلم قد نبهوا على هذه النواقض، وهي التي إذا وقع المسلم في إحداها خرج من دين الإسلام وأصبح مرتدا تثبت له جميع أحكام الردة، وهي أهم النواقض وأظهرها وأكثرها وقوعا، وعامة النواقض ترجع إليها، أي إلى هذه النواقض العشرة. وقد ألف الشيخ عبد الله بن محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله الكلمات النافعة في المكفرات الواقعة، وهي مطبوعة في كتاب الدرر السنية. قال شيخنا الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله: دراسة هذه النواقض مهمة جدا، وقد صنفوا فيها مصنفات وجعلوا لها مكانا خاصا في كتب الفقه، وهو حكم المرتد، وهو حكم المرتد في كل كتاب من كتب الفقه، يجعلون كتابا يسمونه كتاب حكم المرتد في المطولات والمختصرات. وقال شيخنا الشيخ أحمد رحمه الله تعالى، أحمد النجمي، إن من كتابات ومؤلفات شيخ الإسلام النافعة نواقض الإسلام العشرة، وإن مما ينبغي للمسلم ويتأكد عليه أن يتعلم هذه النواقض حتى لا يقع في شيء منها وهو لا يشعر، وهو لا يشعر. فكان من الأهمية بمكان أن يتعلم المسلم هذه النواقض لئلا يقع فيها. فكما أن المتوضئ إذا كان متوضئا وانتقض وضوءه بطل وضوءه، وعليه أن يعيد الوضوء. وكذلك المسلم إذا وقع في نواقض من نواقض الإسلام انتقض إسلامه والعياذ بالله. والمرتد هو الذي يكفر بعد إسلامه، والردة تحصل بارتكاب ناقض من نواقض الإسلام. ونواقض الإسلام كثيرة ترجع إلى أربعة، الأول الردة بالقول، الردة بالقول كسب الله تعالى والعياذ بالله ورسوله أو ملائكته أو أحد من رسله أو ادعاء النبوة أو دعاء غير الله أو الاستعانة أو الاستغاثة بغير الله فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله، فهذه ردة بالقول. الردة بالفعل كالسجود للصنم وللأشجار وللقبور وعمل السحر وتعلمه وتعليمه، وهذا هو الثاني، الردة بالفعل. الثالث الردة بالاعتقاد، كاعتقاد الشريك لله تعالى أو أن الزنا والخمر والربا حلال أو أن الصلاة غير واجبة وغير مفروضة أو نحو ذلك مما أجمع على حله أو حرمته أو وجوبه إجماعا قطعيا، ومثله لا يجهله أحد. الرابع الردة بالشك، الردة بالشك كمن شك في تحريم الشرك أو تحريم الزنا والخمر أو شك في رسالة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الخامس الردة بالترك، الردة بالترك أي ترجع إلى خمسة الصلاة، كمن ترك الصلاة متعمدا من غير عذر، كمن ترك الصلاة متعمدا حتى يخرج وقتها من غير عذر. هذه النواقب العشرة ترجع إلى هذه الخمسة. ما هي الأحكام المترتبة على الردة بعد ثبوتها؟ أولا استتابة المرتد، فإن تاب ورجع إلى الإسلام في خلال 3 أيام قبل منه ذلك وترد. ثانيا إن أبى أن يتوب وجب قتله، قول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام من بدل دينه فاقتلوه، والذي يقوم بقتله هو ولي أمر المسلمين. الثالث يمنع من التصرف في ماله في مدة استتابته، فإن أسلم فهو له وإلا صار فيئا لبيت مال المسلمين. رابعا انقطاع التوارث بينه وبين أقاربه، فلا يرثهم ولا يرثونه. خامسا إذا مات أو قتل على ردته فإنه لا يغسل ولا يصلى عليه ولا يدفن في مقابر المسلمين. وأما بالنسبة لهذه النواقض العشرة التي ذكرها شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب، فإنه لما فشى الجهل واشتدت غربة الدين ظهر ناس من الذين يتسمون بالعلم ويقولون لا نكفر أحدا ولو فعل ما فعل واعتقد ما اعتقد لا نكفر أحدا، لا تفرقوا بين المسلمين يقولون. سبحان الله، من الذي يفرق ويقولون لا تقولوا هؤلاء ليسوا مسلمين إلى نحو ذلك من الكلام الباطل الذي أراد به أن يلبسوا على الناس وأن يشوشوا على الناس. الصحابة رضي الله عنهم لما ارتد من ارتد من العرب بعد وفاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قاتلوهم، ما قالوا لا تفرقوا بين المسلمين لأنهم ليسوا مسلمين ما داموا على الردة. ما هو الناقض الأول من هذه النواقض؟ نأخذه الليلة إن شاء الله ونتدارسه. فما هي إلا دراسة يا إخوة، مدارسة أخ مع إخوانه وزعيم مع زملائه. الناقض الأول الشرك في عبادة الله عز وجل، الشرك في عبادة الله عز وجل. ثم استدل المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى بقول الله عز وجل: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. وقول الله تعالى: إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار. ومنه أي من الشرك في عبادة الله الذبح لغير الله كمن يذبح للجن أو نحو ذلك. هذا هو الأول، الشرك بالله عز وجل. والشرك بالله هو أعظم أنواع الردة، أعظم أنواع الردة الشرك بالله تعالى. وهو صرف شيء من العبادة لغير الله تعالى، صرف شيء من العبادة لغير الله تعالى. والشرك كذلك اتخاذ العبد من دون الله ردا يسويه برب العالمين، يسويه برب العالمين. والشرك بالله عز وجل هو حظم للربوبية وتنقص للألوهية وسوء ظن برب العالمين، وهو أقبح المعاصي والعياذ بالله، وهو أعظم الذنوب، وهو أعظم الذنوب. كما قال الله تعالى كما في وصايا لقمان لابنه: يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. وعندما سئل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أي الذنب أعظم كما في الصحيح قال: أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك، هو أعظم الذنوب. هو الشرك في عبادة الله بأن يعبد مع الله غيره، كأن يذبح لغير الله أو ينذر لغير الله أو يسجد لغير الله أو يستغيث بغير الله فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله. وهذا أعظم أنواع الردة، وهو أخطر الذنوب وأعظمها، وقد وقع فيه كثير ممن يدعون الإسلام ولا يسمونه باسم الشرك، يسمونه التوسل أو يسمونه طلب الشفاعة أو يسمونه بأسماء غير الشرك، ولكن الأسماء لا تغير الحقائق، لا تغير الحقائق. والمراد بالشرك الذي يعتبر ناقضا للإسلام الشرك الأكبر، الشرك الأكبر المخرج من الملة، هذا يعتبر ناقضا من نواقض الإسلام. الذبح للجن أو الذبح للقبور أصحاب القبور، وذكره الشيخ رحمه الله مثل به لأنه واقع ويتساهل فيه الناس، يتساهل الناس فيه ويذبحون لغير الله كأن يذبحون للجن اتقاء من شرهم، أو يذبحون لهم للجن من أجل العلاج والشفاء، يتساهلون فيه مع أنه شرك أكبر يخرج من الملة، يخرج من الملة فيخرج من دينه ويرتد ويظن أن الأمر سهل، وهو خطير جدا. والشرك الأكبر كما مر معنا هو أعظم الذنوب، وهو أعظم الظلم، أعظم الظلم. يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم، فهو أعظم الذنوب وأعظم الظلم، لأن الظلم وضع الشيء في غير موضعه، فإذا وضع العبادة في غير موضعها فقد صرفها لغير الله عز وجل، قد صرفها لغير الله عز وجل. والشرك بالله أخبر الله تعالى أنه يغفره لمن لم يتب منه، إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء، لكن من تاب منه قبل موته تاب الله عليه، تاب الله عليه، إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إذا تاب الإنسان منه. كذلك الله تعالى أخبر أنه حرم الجنة على المشرك وأنه مخلد في النار، كما قال الله سبحانه إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار. وأخبر الله تعالى أن الشرك الأكبر يحبط جميع الأعمال، يحبط جميع الأعمال، فالأمر خطير، كما قال الله تعالى بعد ذكر الأنبياء في سورة الأنعام ولو أشركوا لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يعملون. وقال الله عز وجل في سورة الزمر عن نبيه مخاطبا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين بل الله فاعبد وكن من الشاكرين، وكن من الشاكرين. قال الله سبحانه ما كان للمشركين أن يعمروا مساجد الله شاهدين على أنفسهم بالكفر أولئك حبطت أعمالهم وفي النار هم خالدون. والمشرك لو عمل عمل من الأعمال لا تنفعه مع بقاء الشرك، لأن الشرك إذا دخل في العبادة أحبطها وأفقدها. ولهذا قال الله تعالى عن الكفار، كفار قريش كانوا يسقون الحاج عندهم أعمال، لكن هل تنفعهم مع الشرك؟ لا. فقال الله سبحانه وقدمنا إلى ما عملوا من عمل فجعلناه هباء منثورا. وقال الله سبحانه مثل الذين كفروا أعمالهم كسراب بقيعة، والذين كفروا أعمالهم كسراب بقيعة يحسبه الظمآن ماء حتى إذا جاءه لم يجده شيئا ووجد الله عنده فوفاه حسابه والله سريع الحساب. أو كظلمات في بحر لجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها. ومن لم يجعل الله له نورا فما له من نور. فالمشرك لا تنفعه أعماله مع طاعة الشرك. فكان الواجب علينا أن نحذر غاية الحذر من الشرك وأن نخاف غاية الخوف من الشرك. ولهذا إبراهيم الخليل عليه الصلاة والسلام الذي كسر الأصنام بيده كان يدعو الله تعالى يقول واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام ربي إنهن أضللن كثيرا من الناس. ولهذا بوب الإمام المجدد في كتاب التوحيد باب الخوف من الشرك. قال إبراهيم التيمي رحمه الله فمن يأمل البلاء بعد إبراهيم من يأمل البلاء بعد إبراهيم. الواجب علينا أن نخاف من الشرك ونتعلم التوحيد ونتعلم أنواع الشرك لئلا نقع في الشرك. المشرك الشرك الأكبر حلال الدم والمال كما قال الله تعالى فاقتلوا المشركين حيث وجدتموهم وخذوهم واحصروهم واقعدوا لهم كل مرصد. لكن هذا من ولي أمر المسلمين هو الذي يقيم عليه مثل هذه الأحكام. كذلك الشرك الأكبر أكبر الكبائر في حديث أبي بكر عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر قلنا لا يا رسول الله قال الإشراك بالله وعقوق الوالدين وكان متكئا فجلس وقال ألا قول الزور ألا وشهادة الزور. أما قول بعض الناس اتركوا الناس اتركوا القبوريين وعبادة الأضرحة واتركوا كل من عنده ردة ما دام أنه يدعو للإسلام فهو مسلم. واجه الملاحدة يقال لهم هؤلاء أشد من الملاحدة وأخطر من الملاحدة كما قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله. فالواجب على المسلم أن يحذر الشرك فهو أكبر الكبائر وهو أعظم الموبقات كما ثبت في الصحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. قالوا ما هن يا رسول الله قال الشرك بالله والسحر. الشرك أعظم الموبقات والسحر داخل في الشرك من ناحيتين من ناحية ادعاء علم الغيب ومن ناحية الاستعانة بالشياطين. والشرك يكون في الربوبية ويكون في الألوهية ويكون في الأسماء والصفات. الشرك في الربوبية كأن يعتقد شخص أن غير الله تعالى يخلق أو يرزق أو يحيي أو يميت أو غير ذلك من صفات الربوبية. فيقع الشرك في الألوهية كأن يصرف شخص نوعا من العبادة لغير الله من صلاة وصيام وذبح ونذر ونحو ذلك. ويقع الشرك في الأسماء والصفات كأن يصف شخص بعض خلق الله ببعض الصفات الخاصة بالله كعلم الغيب. والله تعالى يقول قل لا يعلم من في السماوات والأرض الغيب إلا الله فلا يعلم الغيب إلا الله عز وجل. وأنواع الشرك متلازمة. فمن أشرك في نوع منها فهو مشرك في البقية. مثال ذلك دعاء غير الله وسؤاله ما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله، فدعاؤه عبادة. دعاؤه عبادة، وصرفها لغير الله من دون الله شرك في الإلهية، شرك في الإلهية. وسؤاله إياه تلك الحاجة من جلب نفع أو دفع شر، معتقدا أنه قادر على قضاء ذلك، شرك في الربوبية، شرك في الربوبية. ثم إنه لم يدعه هذا الدعاء من دون الله إلا مع اعتقاده أنه يسمعه على البعد والقرب في أي وقت وفي أي مكان، وهذا شرك في الأسماء والصفات، وهذا شرك في الأسماء والصفات. فكان لزاما على العبد أن يحذر الشرك غاية الحذر، يحذر الشرك غاية الحذر ويخاف منه. إذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أخوف ما أخاف على أمة الشرك الأصغر، فسره بالرياء، فكيف بالشرك الأعظم وهو الشرك الأكبر المخدم للملة؟ كان هذا يوجب الحذر والخوف، غاية الخوف من الشرك، لكي يموت الإنسان على توحيد الله، يموت على العقيدة الصحيحة وعلى الإيمان بالله تعالى، فيحذر الشرك. والشرك الذي هو ناقض من نواقض الإسلام كما مر معنا هو الشرك الأكبر، وهو كذلك كل شرك أطلقه الشارع وكان متضمنا لخروج الإنسان من دينه، وكان متضمنا لخروج الإنسان من دينه. وكذلك يحذر الإنسان من الشرك الأكبر والأصغر، لأن الشرك الأصغر قد عرف بأنه ما كان وسيلة إلى الشرك الأكبر، وعرف بأنه ما سمي شركا لكنه لا يخرج من الملة، فهذا يجب الحذر منه والخوف منه كما أخبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. بل علمنا صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا وجد الإنسان من نفسه شيء أن يتعوذ بالله منه ويقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك شيئا وأنا أعلم، وأستغفرك ما لا أعلم فإنك تعلم ما لا أعلم. ومما يبين خطوة الشرك قول الله تعالى ومن يشرك بالله فكأنما خر من السماء فتخطفه الطير أو تهوي به الريح في مكان سحيق، أو تهوي به الريح في مكان سحيق. وقوله تعالى ومن يشرك بالله فقد افترى إثما عظيما، ومن يشرك بالله فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. وقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام كما في حديث أبي الدرداء عند البخاري في الأدب المفرد لا تشرك بالله وإن قطعت أو حرقت، وإن قطعت أو حرقت، في حديث أنس عند الترمذي الحديث القدسي يا ابن آدم لو لقيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم أتيتني ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا غفرت لك ولا أبالي. فالشرك خطير يا إخوة، ولذلك النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لما جمع كفار قريش على الصفا قال قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا، ولما بعث معاذ إلى اليمن قال له فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله، وهي نفي وإثبات لا إله نافيا جميع ما يعبد من دون الله إلا الله، مثبتا العبادة لله، لله عز وجل، مثبتا العبادة لله عز وجل. فلنحذر الشرك يا أيها الإخوة يا طلاب العلم، ولنعلم هذا إخواننا وزملائنا وطلابنا، وندرس هذا للناس حتى يحذروا الشرك. فلا خير للأمة مع بقاء الشرك، ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها، إفساد الأرض ببقاء الشرك. ولهذا قال الله تعالى: وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم، وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم، وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا. إذا أرادوا التمكين والاستخلاف والأمن فعليهم بعبادة الله واجتناب الشرك. والعبادة لا تسمى عبادة إلا باجتناب الشرك. واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا. وفي حديث معاذ أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال له: يا معاذ، أتدري ما حق الله على العباد وما حق العباد على الله؟ قال: الله ورسوله أعلم. قال: حق الله على العباد أن يعبدونني ولا يشركون بي شيئا، وحق العباد على الله أن لا يعذب من لا يشرك به شيئا. فلنحذر الشرك عباد الله. والشرك الأكبر له أنواع لعلنا أن نذكرها في درس مقبل إن شاء الله، ونكتفي لعلنا بهذا القدر. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
بارك الله فيك فضل الشيخ، نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعل هذا الدرس في ميزان حسناتك. فضل الشيخ، عندنا أسئلة يا دام، كان بارك الله فيك.
والله يا شيخ الأسئلة، أرجو أن تعذروني من الأسئلة.
خلاص يا شيخ، جزاك الله خير، بارك الله
فيك. بارك الله فيكم، لعلكم ترسلون أسئلتكم إلى موقع الشيخ زيد في درسه الليل بعد صلاة العشاء أي ليلة.
إن شاء الله غدا عندنا درس مع الشيخ زيد إن شاء الله.
زين، أعرف أسئلتكم على الشيخ.
بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير،
بارك الله فيكم،
حياك
الله التوفيق.
آمين رب
العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سوري شيخ حفظ الله، شيخ عبد الله النجمي has started with خطبة الحاجة and praising Allah سبحانه وتعالى and sending a salutation upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he said, our brothers, he said, in this night we meet يعني via the telephone and we study together a beneficial book from the books which the Imam, the Reviver, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has authored or has written down. And this book is called The Nullifiers of Islam, The Ten Nullifiers of Islam. So Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab and many others from the scholars, they have showed great importance and they have pointed out the importance of the nullifiers of Islam. The ones which, if the person falls in, he apostates from Islam. He apostates from Islam. And he leaves the fold of Islam and he becomes an apostate. And the Sheikh says, he continues, he says, and from the most important, these nullifiers of Islam are from the main ones and the most important of them, the ones that Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab wrote. And most of the other nullifiers, anything else that nullifies Islam, falls into one of these 10 nullifiers. And the son of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, Abdullah bin Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he wrote a book or a small risala, which is called The Beneficial Words in That Which May, in the Disbelieving Acts Which Is Happening in a Current Era. And he explains the nullifiers of Islam as well in this book. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, he says that the studying these nullifiers of Islam is very important for everyone. It's very important that everyone should study these nullifiers of Islam. And many other scholars, many of the scholars, they have given great care and showed great importance to these nullifiers and studying these nullifiers. And also they have allocated a section for the nullifiers of Islam in their fiqh books. So in the fiqh books you would find that there's a chapter or there's a book in it called the ruling upon the one who apostates, the ruling of the one who apostates. And the Sheikh says you find this in the advanced books and also in the concise ones. And the Sheikh says, our Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, he says that from the most important books or from the most beneficial books that Sheikh al-Islam, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, has written is The Nullifiers of Islam. And it is upon every Muslim to learn these nullifiers of Islam so that he would not fall into these. Yes? So he would not fall into the nullifiers of Islam without realizing. So the Shaykh continues and he says, so it is upon the Muslim to learn them. Just like the person who performs wudu. The person who performs wudu and he nullifies his wudu, he breaks his wudu, then it is upon him, it is an obligation upon him to re-perform the wudu again. Just like that, when a person falls into any of the things or any of the acts that nullify Islam, then it's an obligation upon him to repent from that and go back. So he has to know them first so that he doesn't fall in them. And the Sheikh says, the apostate or the murtad is the person who becomes or who disbelieves after he was a Muslim. The apostate or the murtad is the one who disbelieves after he was a Muslim. And this takes place, or the apostasy takes place, by committing one of the nullifiers of Islam. So the apostasy takes place by committing one of the nullifiers of Islam. The Sheikh continues and he says, the nullifiers of Islam, there are many. And they go back, or all of the nullifiers of Islam, they fall into one of five. Number one is to apostate, to fall into apostasy with speech, by way of speech. And the Sheikh says an example of this is cursing Allah Azza wa Jal, and also cursing His Messenger, and cursing the angels, or cursing the messengers of Allah, or someone who claims prophethood, someone who claims prophethood, or supplicating to someone other than Allah, or seeking aid and assistance from other than Allah on something that only Allah is able to do. Seeking assistance and aid in something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do. So this is the first one. First one is apostasy in terms of speech. The second one is apostasy with actions. And the Sheikh says the examples of this is, for example, prostration to other than Allah, prostrating to the idols, prostrated to idols or to graves, and also to practice magic, and also learn magic and teach it. This is apostasy with actions. Number three is apostasy with belief. Apostasy with the belief. And the Sheikh says the example of this is that you hold the belief that Allah has a partner. That Allah has a partner. And fornication, adultery, and also the alcohol drinks are permissible. This is, when you hold the belief that these things are permissible, or when you ascribe a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is apostasy with the belief. Or the Sheikh says, another example of this is that you believe or you hold the belief that the prayer is not an obligation. If you hold that the prayer is not an obligation upon you, and many other things, from the things which the scholars had consensus about, whether something was, all the scholars had consensus that this is an obligation, or they had a consensus that this particular thing is prohibited. And you oppose that, and you hold the belief, in opposition to that, then you fall into number three. Number four, the Sheikh says, apostasy with doubts. Apostasy by way of doubts. Like the one who is doubtful that shirk is prohibited. Like the one who has doubt that associating partners with Allah is prohibited. The one who has doubt about this, then he apostates with, in this category, he apostates by way of doubt. And also the one who has doubt that fornication and drinking alcohol, he doubts the prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has doubts about this, then he falls into number four. Number five, the Sheikh says, is the apostasy by way of abandonment. by way of abandonment. And this one is like the one who abandons the prayer intentionally without a legislated excuse, and he leaves it until the time, يعني, the time of the prayer is finished. So this one is by way of abandonment. Shirk by way of abandonment is like the one who abandons the prayer intentionally without a legislated excuse. So this one, he falls into the to the last one, number five. And the Sheikh says all of the يعني, nullifiers, even the 10 nullifiers that the Sheikh mentions, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab mentions in his book, all of them go back to one of these five. All of them go back to one of these five. Then the Sheikh Hafidhullah, he moves on to the rulings يعني, regarding these types of shirk. يعني, the one who falls into this or falls into any of this, what is the ruling that comes out or يعني, for the person who falls into any of these? So the Sheikh says, first one is if the person falls into one of these, then he has to repent. He has to repent first. The one who apostates from Islam, he has to repent. And يعني, if he nullified his Islam, then he has to go back and يعني, enter to Islam again. Number two, Sheikh says, if the person rejects and refuses to repent, then it is an obligation to kill him. It is an obligation to carry out the prescribed punishment against him, the punishment of Allah, and he has to be killed. يعني and bearing the hadith in mind, the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whosoever changes his religion, then kill him. Whosoever changes his religion, then kill him. And the Sheikh says, the one who should carry out this prescribed punishment is the person يعني, in charge, the leader of the country. It's not for anyone to carry out this punishment. It's for the leader of the country to carry out this punishment. Number three, the Sheikh says, the person should not be given any يعني, or should not be allowed, the person who falls into any of these and he refuses to repent, he should not be allowed to يعني, act freely regarding his wealth. He cannot spend his wealth freely and how he wishes. So the person is not permitted to يعني, spend his money as he wishes. So his money, so the Sheikh says, if the person repents and goes back to Islam, then he can, then his wealth is for him. He can use it and he can يعني, spend it however he wishes. As for if he refuses, then it becomes like a booty for the Muslims, for the country of for the general Muslims. It becomes like a booty for them. Number four, the Sheikh says, if the person falls into any of these and he does not repent, then it is not permissible to inherit him. He does not inherit his family, nor does his family inherit him. Number five, the Sheikh says, if the person dies while in a state of apostasy, then he should not be washed. He should not be washed and he should not be prayed on. And he should not be buried with the يعني, Muslims or in the Muslim graves. So if the person dies in a state of apostasy, then he should not be washed or and no one should pray on him. And also he should not be buried with the Muslims, يعني, in the Muslim graves. The Sheikh says, in regards to the 10 nullifiers of Islam, the Sheikh said that when the ignorance was widespread, due to the ignorance, especially when it was widespread, and the religion became يعني, strange, when the religion became strange, there were some people who started to claim, from the people who ascribed themselves to knowledge, they started to claim that, or say, we do not say that anyone is a disbeliever. We should not say that anyone is a disbeliever. Even if he does any type of action that nullifies Islam, these people, they say, we should not declare disbelief on anyone. And we should not cause division between the Muslims. We should not cause division between the Muslims. The Sheikh said, subhanAllah, who is the one who's causing a division now? In reality, who is the one that's causing a division? And the Sheikh says, they say, do not speak about those people, do not speak about those people, and do not say that they are not Muslims. The people who fall into these actions, or the things which nullify the Islam, the Sheikh says, these people, they say, do not say that they are not Muslims. Or any other speech, likewise, which يعني, causes division between the people, and يعني, deceives the people. The Sheikh said, the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, they fought the ones who apostated when they refused to pay the zakah. The people who apostated after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they refused to pay the zakat and they apostated. The companions, they have fought them. All of the companions have waged war against them. And none of them said, we should not cause division between the Muslims. None of the companions said, they are Muslims, or let's not cause division between the Muslims. So the Sheikh says, we take the first nullifier of Islam tonight. And this is merely just studying amongst my brothers. So I'm your brother and you are my brothers, and just like a colleague with his colleagues. So this lesson is just like a colleague studying with his colleagues, or a brother studying with his brothers. So the Sheikh said the first nullifier is shirk, ascribing partners to Allah in the worship. The first one is shirk. And the Sheikh said that the author, he used the proof from Allah's statement, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that verily Allah does not forgive shirk, and he forgives anything other than that to whomsoever he wishes. And also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily the one who ascribes partners to Allah, or the one who falls into shirk, then Allah had prohibited the paradise for him, and his fate will be the hellfire, and for the oppressors there will be no one to give victory to. Yes, and the Sheikh said, and from the examples of this, this is what Sheikh Sam Muhammad Abdul Wahab said, and an example of this is slaughtering or sacrificing for other than Allah, like the one who sacrifices for the jinn, like the one who sacrifices for the jinn, or sacrifices for the people in the graves. So the Sheikh says the first one is shirk. So the first nullifier of the 10 nullifiers of Islam is shirk. And the Sheikh says shirk is the greatest type of apostasy. Shirk is the greatest type of apostasy. And shirk means is to direct any act of worship to other than Allah. To direct any act of worship to other than Allah. And likewise, the Sheikh says, shirk is also taking some of the creation as partners with Allah. And taking them as equals to Allah. Taking any of the creation as partners or equals to Allah. And you liken him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you put him on the same level as the Lord of the universe. The Sheikh says also, shirk undermines the lordship of Allah. Shirk undermines the lordship of Allah, and also causes the worship of Allah to be deficient. And also shirk consists of having bad assumption of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And shirk is from the greatest of sins. Shirk is the greatest sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the advice of wise Luqman that, O my son, do not associate any partners with Allah. Verily, associate partners of Allah, or verily shirk is a great oppression. Verily, shirk is great oppression. And also, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, which sin, O Messenger of Allah, is the greatest? When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, which sin, O Messenger of Allah, is the greatest? As in the sahih, as in the authentic sunnah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greatest sin is that you have a partner with Allah, or you have an equal to Allah, and he is the one who created you. You make an equal to Allah while he is the one who created you. So the Sheikh says shirk is also worshipping someone with Allah, or directing any of the types of acts of worship to other than Allah. For example, slaughtering, sacrificing for other than Allah, prostrating to anyone other than Allah, seeking assistance and aid from other than Allah in that which Allah only can carry out. Seeking assistance and aid in things which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do. The Sheikh says many of the people have fallen into this. Many of the people have fallen into shirk. And they do not call the shirk that they fall into, or this type of shirk, they do not call it shirk. Yes, they call it tawassul. Or they give it many other names. And the Sheikh says these different names that the people give to the shirk, or they call it with other names, does not change the reality. The Sheikh said does not change the reality. It's still shirk, even if you name it with other things. And the Sheikh says the intent with shirk here, the intent with the shirk that nullifies Islam here is the major shirk. Yani Sheikh Islam here, when he mentions shirk as being one of the nullifiers of Islam, he means, or he's referring to, the major shirk, not the minor shirk. So this, the Sheikh said that sacrificing for the graves, yes, sacrificing for the graves, and Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he used this as an example. So sacrificing for the graves, for the people in the graves, and also sacrificing for the jinn. Yani, by way of trying to prevent their harm. You believe that they can harm you, and you try to prevent the harm that comes from the jinn by sacrificing for them. Yes? And also, yani, for other reasons, such as you're seeking cure from the jinn, so you sacrifice for them. So for many other reasons, people sacrifice for jinn. And the Sheikh says, and the people take it lightly, people take this shirk lightly, even though it is a major shirk. Yani sacrificing for other than Allah, sacrificing for the people of the graves or the jinn, the Sheikh says, people take it very lightly, although it is major shirk. This is not minor shirk, this is major shirk. So the Sheikh says, the affair is very dangerous. Yes, so the Sheikh said, shirk, or the major shirk, is yani the greatest oppression and sin. Major shirk is the greatest oppression and sin. And then he mentioned again the verse which يعني, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says يعني, with the tongue of Luqman, the wise Luqman to his son, O my son, do not يعني, associate partners with Allah. Verily associate partners with Allah is great oppression. So it shows here that shirk is the greatest oppression and the greatest sin. The Sheikh says this is the reason for this, because oppression, or the definition of oppression, is putting a particular thing in the wrong place, not putting the thing in its correct place. So when the person, he directs the worship to other than Allah and he puts it in the wrong place, then he has يعني, turned this type of worship away from Allah. So he did not put it in the right place. So that's why it is an oppression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that He forgives anything but shirk. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that verily Allah does not forgive shirk, and He forgives anything other than that to whomsoever He wishes. Verily Allah does not forgive shirk, and He forgives anything other than that to whosoever He wishes. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily he who associates partners with Allah, then Allah has prohibited the paradise for him, and his fate will be the hellfire. And his fate will be the hellfire. As for the person who repents, the person who falls into shirk, and he repents before his death, he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will forgive him. If he wishes, Allah will forgive him. Na'am, so it's about the person who dies upon shirk. So the one who repents from it before he dies, then Allah forgive him. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran that the major shirk nullifies all of the actions of the person. All of the worship and all of the good deeds of the person is nullified by shirk. So when a person falls into shirk, all of his actions are nullified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, so the Sheikh said, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if they have fallen into shirk, then all of their actions, or all of that which they were doing, would have been nullified. All of their actions, or all of that which they were doing, would have been nullified. Allah says that in the Quran. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it was revealed to you and to those before you, that if you associate partners with Allah, then your actions or your deeds will be nullified. Your actions or deeds will be nullified. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's telling him, and it was revealed to you and to the ones who were before you, that if you fall into shirk, your actions will be nullified. Yes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says regarding the mushrikeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the mushrikeen that it was not for the polytheist. Yeah, regarding the polytheist, he said it was not permissible, or was not allowed for the polytheist to build the mosques of Allah, or to carry out the duties in the mosques of Allah while testifying against themselves with disbelief, such as those the ones who their actions are nullified. And the Sheikh says, so the shirk, no good action is beneficial with shirk. If you perform any good deed or any good action, yes, is not beneficial if you fall into shirk. And the Sheikh says, an example of this is the polytheists at the time of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the polytheists of Quraysh. They used to look after the people who perform Hajj. They used to give them the water, they used to look after them. The Sheikh says this did not benefit them at all. So they used to have good deeds, the Sheikh said. Those people, the polytheists of Quraysh, they used to have good deeds, but it did not benefit them because they have fallen into shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse in the Quran, and we have came to that which they have carried out from good deeds, and we have made it blown in the wind, or we have caused it to blow in the wind. So the Sheikh said, with the shirk, nothing benefits. With shirk, nothing benefits. No good deed benefits with shirk. So it's upon us to be aware of shirk. It's upon us to be aware of shirk and fear for ourselves shirk. The person has to fear for himself shirk. And for that reason, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, while he is the one who broke, who destroyed the idols in his time, he is the one who destroyed the idols, as mentioned in his story. And he said, while supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, in a verse in the Quran, he said, and prevent me and my offsprings from worshipping the idols. And he said, prevent me and my offsprings from worshipping the idols. The Sheikh said, for that reason, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he mentions in Kitab al-Tawheed, the Book of Tawheed, he says, and he has a chapter in the Book of Tawheed, he says, the chapter of fearing yourself, fearing shirk for yourself. The chapter of fearing shirk for yourself. This one chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed. And he mentioned in that chapter, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he mentioned, he said, who is secure, or who feels secure from shirk after Ibrahim alayhi salam said this? Who of us feels secure from falling into shirk if Ibrahim alayhi salam supplicated with this dua, when he said, and prevent me and my offsprings from worshipping the idols? So who is secure from this? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also mentions regarding the polytheist, many verses in the Quran, that they should be killed wherever they're found and so on, in the verses of the Quran. These people who fall into shirk. And the Sheikh, he continues and says, major shirk is the most major sin, or from the major sins. Major shirk is from the major sins. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, regarding the major sins, first one, he said shirk, he was leaning to his side, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was leaning to one side, so he was mentioning the major sins, and he mentioned shirk, and disobedient to parents. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat up, and he said, having false testimony, yes, speaking with false speech, and also having false testimony. So Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned shirk and disobedience to parents. Then he sat up and he mentioned having false, or speaking with false speech, vain speech, and also having false testimony. So the Sheikh says, as for the statement of some people when they say let those people who worship the graves be, leave them alone, why do you speak about them? And rather, focus your energy and show your enmity and opposition to those atheists. Yes, so the Sheikh saying, some people, they claim this. They say, leave the grave worshippers. Why are you focusing on the grave worshippers and go to the atheists? The Sheikh said, rather, those people who worship the graves and those people who fall into shirk are more dangerous than the polytheists, than the atheists. Yes, the Sheikh says, they are more dangerous. And also, shirk is from the deadliest sins. Shirk is from the deadliest sins. As in the hadith of Abu Huraira when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he said, avoid the seven deadliest or the seven deadly sins. He said, avoid the seven deadly sins. And they said, they asked the Messenger of Allah, what are the seven deadly sins? And he mentioned, the first one is shirk, associating partners with Allah, and magic. Yani he mentioned from them, shirk and magic. And the Sheikh says magic falls into shirk in two types, in two ways. The first one is by way that the magician, he claims to know the unseen. The first one is that the magician, he claims to know the unseen. So that's one way that how it links to shirk. The second one is that you seek aid with the jinn. You seek aid and assistance with the jinn, rather than seeking it with Allah. Then the Sheikh, he continues and he says, so shirk يعني, takes part or يعني, falls into or takes part in takes place in lordship, rububiyyah, uluhiyyah, divinity or worship, and in the names of attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shirk can be in either of those. As for the lordship, the Sheikh says, the example of this is that you hold the belief that other than Allah can create, can provide, can resurrect the people and so on. So when you have any of these, if you have a belief like this, then you fall into shirk in lordship. As for uluhiyyah, in terms of worship, then when you direct any types of worship to other than Allah. If you direct any of the worship to other than Allah. Just for the brothers who are waiting for the Isha prayer, so I'll be very quick inshallah, and we'll finish just a few minutes. Yes? We apologize for this. So we said in terms of worship, then is directing any type of worship to other than Allah. As for the names and attributes, this takes place, or an example of this is that you describe any of the creation or any of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, and you ascribe to him an attribute or a quality that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, that is sincerely and purely for Allah. For example, knowing the unseen. If you ascribe knowing the unseen to anyone other than Allah, then you fall into shirk in terms of or in regards to names and attributes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he said in the Quran, say that none in the heavens and the earth know the unseen except Allah. Say that none knows the unseen in the heavens and the earth except Allah. And the Sheikh says, the types of shirk are parallel. Yeah, they're always together. The types of all the three types of shirk, they are parallel. They're together. And whosoever falls into any of them, any of the three, falls into shirk in any of the three categories, then this would necessitate that he falls into the other ones as well. Yes, the Sheikh said, for example, when someone supplicates to a person, he's supplicating to this person and he is asking him for something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do. Only Allah is able to do. Then the Sheikh said that supplication here is shirk of worship. The supplication itself is shirk of worship because he directed it to other than Allah. And having the belief that the person who he's supplicating to can answer him, yes, this is shirk in lordship, in rububiyyah. This is shirk in lordship. And having the belief that this person you're supplicating to can actually hear you wherever you are, whether you're far away or whether you're close, then this is shirk in names and attributes. This is shirk in names and attributes. So by falling to one of them, you fall into all of them. So when someone supplicated to the other than Allah, he fell into all the three categories. So the Sheikh says, it's upon us to be aware of shirk and fear shirk for ourselves. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the thing I fear for you the most is minor shirk. And he explained this, that it is showing off, or the love of being seen. Yes, so the Sheikh saying, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that I fear for you the most minor shirk. So what do you think about the major shirk, if he said this about the minor shirk? Yes, so the major shirk, of course, is more. So this one, so we have to pay attention to this, the Sheikh says, and upon the person is to die with the correct aqidah, to die or pass away with the correct belief. And the Sheikh saying, the shirk which nullifies the person's Islam, which then makes the person a disbeliever, the type of shirk, is the major one, not the minor one. The minor one does not take the person outside of Islam, only the major one. And this is the one that takes the person out of his religion. Yes? Also, the Sheikh says, you still have to be careful of the minor shirk. This does not mean that you leave the minor shirk, you do not pay any attention to minor shirk. Yes? You also pay attention and be aware and be afraid of minor shirk. And the definition of minor shirk is anything that leads to major shirk. Anything that is not major shirk in itself, but it leads to major shirk. And it does not take the person outside the fold of Islam. This is minor shirk. So the obligation upon everyone is to be aware of it and be careful from falling into it. As the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, also he commanded us to seek refuge in Allah and supplicate to him to spare us falling into shirk, whether minor or major. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and whosoever associates partners with Allah, then he has lied or he has caused a great sin or great lie. He has fallen into great sin or great lie. And another ayah says, whosoever associates partners with Allah, then he have been misguided in a great way. He has been misguided in a great way. Also the hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, hadith of Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith Qudsi, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, O son of Adam, if you meet me with the equivalent of the earth in sins, I will meet you with the equivalent of the earth in expiation or in forgiveness, as long as you do not associate any partners with me. So the one who meets Allah with the greatest of sins and he does not associate any partners with Allah, then Allah will forgive him, according to this hadith. So the shirk is very dangerous. The Shaykh says the shirk is very dangerous. And for that reason, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the kuffar, when he was first sent as a messenger, he went to them and he called them and he said to them, say la ilaha illallah and you'll be successful. He said to them, to the kuffar, say la ilaha illallah and you'll be successful. And the Shaykh says the meaning of la ilaha illallah here, it includes negation and affirmation. You negate that no one has the right to be worshipped in truth. This is a negation. And you affirm that except Allah, only Allah. You affirm that only Allah is the one who is worthy of worship. Likewise, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded Mu'adh ibn Jabal when he sent him to Yemen, and he said to him, you will come to the people of the book. So let be the first one, the first thing you call them to is Tawheed, that they worship Allah alone. He said, you're going to the people of the book, so let the first thing you call them to is Tawheed. Yes? So the Shaykh said, we have to be aware of shirk. And we have to teach it to people. We have to learn it. We have to learn what is the shirk. We have to learn that it nullifies Islam, that it takes you out of Islam, the major shirk. Yes? So that's why we have to learn it. And we teach it to other people. We teach it to our families. We teach it to our friends and so on. So there's no khair, there's no goodness for the Muslims if the shirk is still present. If there's still shirk between the Muslims, there is no khair in them. Yes? There will be no goodness in them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in a verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who believed and did righteous deeds that he will enable them in the land and he will let them rule the land. The ones who believe in Allah and they do good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the end of the ayah that those people, they worship Allah and do not associate any partners with him. He described them that they do not associate any partners with him. And the Shaykh says the worship is not called worship except with the act of worship being free from shirk. When the act of worship is free from shirk, then you call it worship. But when it consists of shirk, the act of worship, then it's not considered worship anymore. And also, lastly, the Shaykh mentions the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, oh Mu'adh, do you know the right of Allah upon his slaves? Then he said, Allah and his messenger know best. And he said to him, Allah's right upon his slave is that they worship him and they do not associate any partners with him. Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, O Mu'adh, do you know Allah, the people's rights upon Allah if they did this? If they did this, if they did not worship anyone except Allah, what is the right of the slaves upon Allah? He said, Allah and his messenger knows best. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is that he does not punish anyone who does not associate any partners with him. He does not punish anyone who does not associate any partners with him. So the major shirk has many types, and we mention them in the next lesson, inshallah, the Sheikh says. And at the end, the Sheikh said, we asked him for a few questions, but he said, if you excuse me from having any questions, if you have any questions, send them to the website of Sheikh Zayd, Hafidhullah, and then he will answer them. As for questions, he said, if you can excuse me, then that would be great, inshallah. So we apologize to brothers for taking long, and may Allah reward you for your patience. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.